good to be in the house of the Lord. You may take a seat. So good to see all of you this morning. Welcome, visitors. If you're new to Hope Community Church, we welcome you. And we're so glad that you are here this morning as we continue our series, Encountering Jesus. How many guys know that that's what it's going to take to bring change in this city, an encounter with the Lord? It's not going to be more programs or more of our own doing. It's going to be an encounter with Jesus. Whenever the Lord's people begin to encounter Christ and begin to change and begin to demonstrate the goodness of God into this earth, that's when we're going to begin to see some change. Amen? I believe this is what the world needs. We need an encounter with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Today we're in the book of Mark chapter 5, so if you want to open up your Bibles and just kind of turn there. And I just want to kind of begin with a story. And the title of this one is Everything Changes with an Encounter. Amen. Everything changes with an encounter. Yeah. Now, how many guys have kids in this place? All right, so we got a few people. Now, don't you know that everything in your life changed whenever you had kids, right? So my wife and I, before we had kids, we used to take like really exotic vacations. I mean, like Costa Rica and Peru and just amazing things. So even in our vacations have changed where now we go to Florida, we go to Texas, we go, to Alabama, beautiful places, right? But it's not Costa Rica and it's not Peru. Things change when you have kids. Everything changes when you encounter kids. You know, we used to have several quiet nights. You know, I'm talking about where you're just looking at your wife and she's looking at you and you're not really saying a whole lot. But, you know, you're just looking at each other because you're in love, right? And then all of a sudden you have kids and you don't have any more of those quiet moments, right? But I love kids. They add so much to my life. And so not only has it changed that way where, I don't have any quiet, but, you know, now I have two boys I can play basketball with. That changed. You know, just playing ball by yourself gets a little boring. So having some kids to play basketball with is a lot of fun. Hearing Carlo this morning singing in the shower as loud as he can, I mean, that was just awesome, right? And so kids change everything. And so that's what I want to kind of put in your mind today, that an encounter with Christ will change everything about you, will change everything about who you are and what you have become and what you believe and how you act and how you think. An encounter with Christ will change everything about you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 25 through 34, and it says this. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but grew worse. Can anybody relate to that? Anybody knows what it's like to go to a doctor? You spend a ton of money. They give you some sort of hope that, hey, look, you can get better. And only to send you to another doctor to give you more hope to buy more medicine, right? And the problem never gets fixed. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Or maybe you've had some car trouble, right? And so you send it to a mechanic, hoping that he's going to fix your car. And you spend a ton of money, and you still have the same problem. Anybody can relate to what I'm saying? All right. And so this was this woman. She had suffered with an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. That's a long time. I can't even see 12 years ago, I've been 26, 24, something like that. That's a long time ago. I don't even know what I was doing back then. But this woman is suffering in her body for 12 years, and she had spent all that she had, and she got none the better. So you can see how she would be frustrating. Now, this bleeding that she had was beyond the normal cycle that a woman would experience every month. It was continual bleeding. And so she was weak in her body. Now, right before this encounter with Jesus, Jesus met a man named Jairus. And Jairus had a daughter who was 12 years old. All right? And so Jairus goes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I need you to come and heal my daughter. So on the way to healing her daughter, this is when this woman interrupts Jesus for her miracle. But there's something about the number 12. Number 12 means completion. It means faith. It means purpose. Even though in this particular case, it seems to be so far removed from purpose, completion, and wholeness. We see a 12-year-old daughter who's about to die. We see a woman who has an issue of blood for 12 years, and it looks anything but complete. It looks anything but whole. It looks anything but promising or faithful or purposeful. You know that the number 12 is written 187 times in the Bible because the number 12, it symbolizes God's kingdom or God's rule on the earth. Whenever Jacob had 12 kids, and they became the 12 patriarchs. The promise was sent to Abraham because of his obedience, and Abraham passed it on to his son Isaac, and Isaac passed it on to his son Jacob, and Jacob passed it on to his 12 sons, and through the 12 sons come the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we fast forward to the New Testament, and then we see the 12 disciples of Jesus, right? And so the number 12 was so important, and it represented completeness that even whenever Judas betrayed Jesus, that the disciples thought it was necessary to replace Judas with somebody who had been there since the beginning so that their group can be complete again. The number 12 can be complete. It will be whole. So it was a number that God used to establish his kingdom or his rule in the earth. But in this situation, it seems to be the opposite initially, right? Initially, it seems that where's the completeness? Where's the wholeness? Where's the miracle at? Where's the faith? Where's the purpose? She was broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, but what seems like depravity to us is an opportunity for God to demonstrate his wholeness in the earth, amen, and his completeness. What seems like depravity to us is an opportunity for completeness and wholeness for him. Verse 27, it says, she had heard the reports about Jesus. First of all, there's a report about Jesus going about. In other words, someone experienced the goodness of God, experienced his testimony, experienced and witnessed the power of Jesus, and they were so affected that they began to tell of what Jesus had done in their life. And so what if the church began to release a report about what the Lord has done in their life? That way someone can hear about Jesus and hear the report of the Lord, and that they too would come to Christ and receive the miracle that they need in their life. Well, if the church was to be the one bringing the report of the Lord. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. The reason you're in this place today is you heard the word of God and it came alive in your heart. I believe this world needs to hear the word of God. They need to hear your testimony. They need to hear your story and the goodness of God that has been demonstrated in your life. Amen. Amen. Verse 27b, and it says, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if I can just touch his garment, I will be made well. Now, this woman has a totally different approach than most other people in the Bible. Whenever other people like blind Bartimaeus want to be healed, he's like, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, like, you know, the disciples are like, hey, man, shut up. You don't know, he doesn't have time for you. Oh, he can't say shut up. Be quiet. Jesus doesn't have time for you, right? And so he began to scream even louder, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So he made his petition known to Jesus. He said, hey, look, he got Jesus' attention. He said, have mercy on me. And Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And Jesus said, that I might receive my sight. And then even with the lepers lived in a colony that were outside the city, and they were to yell, unclean, unclean, whenever people passed by. But whenever Jesus passed by, they begin to yell, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. So again, they make their petition known to Jesus, get his attention, so that they can experience the miracle. This woman does something quite different. There was shame in being blind because you had to beg. You had to beg and you had to be totally dependent upon someone else leading you to that place so that you can beg and ask for money. There was another level of shame in being a leper as you were excommunicated from your family and you had to live outside the city. There was some shame involved in that. But there was even more shame being a woman with an issue of blood and having to go in front of a bunch of men and confess, this is me. This is who I am. This is what I'm dealing with. Because in the book of Leviticus, it talks about when a woman had a discharge, the discharge in her body is blood. She shall be in her menstrual impurity for 7 days. And whoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything on which she lies down on her menstrual impurity shall be unclean. Everything also in which she sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. There's a lot more shame involved with this woman to have to boldly go before Jesus and make her petition known. So she has a plan B. She says, you know what? I need a miracle. I know Jesus is my miracle. I know that he is my answer. I don't think I can bring my shame before him. I don't think I can just let myself be vulnerable before him and before all these people. I don't think I can do that. It's just too much shame accompanied with it. If I could just touch his garment, if I can just press through the crowd, through all of those who are in my way, if I can just get to Jesus some kind of way, then I will be made whole. You know, she was, even though at first, you know, she didn't want to boldly go in front of anybody, she wasn't going to let Jesus leave without getting her miracle. Amen. She wasn't going to let him pass by knowing that he had the answer to her situation. And so she begins to press through the crowd. And we just read in Leviticus that whatever she touches would become unclean, whether that's the ground or whether that's people. But she didn't care, but she had to get to Jesus. Interesting thing begins to happen. And it says in verse 29, this is what happens when an impure person encounters the righteous God. Verse 29, it says, and immediately the flow of blood dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Now, here's the thing. Doctors touched her, and she remained the same. She touched others, and they became impure. But she touched the Son of God, and all the impurities had to leave her body. Amen? That blood began to dry up because her uncleanness could not make Jesus unclean. But his righteousness had the power to clean her and make her whole. Amen? 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 Your sin and your wickedness will not make Jesus any less than who he is. Your disease and your whatever it is that you're dealing with will not make you or will not make Jesus any less than who he is. But whenever you touch Jesus, your body will be affected. Your mind will be made whole. Amen. Your spirit will come alive. You cannot touch the Son of God. You cannot have an encounter with the Son of God and remain the same. Everything changes when you have an encounter with Jesus. Amen. Everything changes. Her sorrow had been turned to joy. Her weeping turned into happiness. Come on now. Where she came and she was once afraid to come before the crowd, she is now excited and filled with joy that she touched Jesus, and that her issue that she had for 12 years, though it was shameful, and though it was a hidden thing, and though it was secretive, she was made whole. It says this in verse 30. It says, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? The power that went out of Jesus was the power to heal. Amen. It wasn't just some supernatural power. I mean, it was supernatural power. It was the power to heal and to affect a natural body. That natural body could not stand against a supernatural God when it came in contact with it. Amen. Your natural circumstance, the natural things that you are facing, cannot stand against a supernatural God whenever you encounter Jesus. Amen. Your worry cannot stand against a supernatural God whenever you encounter Jesus. Your fear cannot stand before a supernatural God. Your sickness, your disease cannot stand before a supernatural God. You know, she might have had a secret, but Jesus knew exactly who it was that touched the hem of his garment. He is God Almighty. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He knows all things. And so whenever he turned around and he said, "Who touched me?" He was giving her an opportunity to give glory unto God for the miracle that took place in her body. Jesus knew already that, hey, look, I know who you are. I know your deepest secrets. I know your secret illness. I know your secret sins. I know your secret faith. But, hey, someone touched me, and someone touched me out of faith. I want you to give an opportunity to give glory to God. You know, if Jesus had not asked this question, nobody would have known that she'd been healed. The disciples, they were clueless. I mean, they looking at Jesus like, "Jesus, you asking who touched you? Like, really, there's like 1,000 people around you that everybody's touching you." The disciples were clueless, okay? Most of the time, they were clueless. And it just goes to show our human imperfections that, you know, as much as we try to look and you know, look the part and be holy and all these things, sometimes we're just clueless, right? But Jesus knew. Jesus knew exactly who it was, and that he felt virtue, he felt power, healing power go from his body and touch and heal this woman. You know, the disciples are looking at this with a humanistic perspective. But Jesus, he was looking at it with a kingdom-minded perspective, that the kingdom of God was established in her life today. And we talked about the number 12 being wholeness and completeness. You know, initially, it didn't appear to be so, but now we begin to see, hey, look, this number 12 is again completeness. She was made whole. She was made well. Amen? In verse 32, and he looked around to see who had done it. No, now, he was not going to fuss her. He was not going to reprimand her for her faith, but he wanted to commend her. He wanted to see who it was. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. You know, whenever we as being unrighteous encounter a righteous God, all of our unrighteousness goes. Whenever we being impure encounter a pure and holy God, all of our impurities go. Whenever we being incomplete encounter a complete and whole God, our incompleteness and unwholeness goes. 33 says this, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Told him the whole truth. In other words, she said, this is who I am. Yes, I was trying to hide it first. I was trying to hide it from the crowd. I didn't want you to know my secrets, but this is who I am. You found me out, Lord. You found me out. This is who I am. I'm not running no more. I believe that's what the Lord is wanting from us. Those secret things that we keep buried in our lives, whether it's secret sins or secret illnesses or secret pains in our hearts, secret disappointments, secret hurts, secret failures. The Lord is wanting us to own up to that and say, this is who I am. This is who I am. I'm tired of running from it anymore, Lord. This is me. Will you heal me? Will you make me whole? This must have been an encouragement to Jairus. As he's witnessing this woman experiencing her miracle, maybe he's thinking, man, you know, I seen Jesus just heal her of a blood impurity. Perhaps he's going to do the same for my daughter. Perhaps he's going to heal my daughter. I'm sure this was a faith builder in Jairus' life. And that's the whole idea about sharing your testimony. It is a faith builder. As you begin to share what the Lord has done in your life, it builds the faith of someone else so that they can believe that God can do the same for them. He says, verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. He calls her daughter. And what this means right here in this verse, it means a daughter of God, acceptable to God, one who rejoices in God's peculiar care and protection. You know, whenever first adopted kids, hopefully she don't mind me saying this, she's looking at me, giving me smiles. But whenever we first adopted our kids, you know, my little daughter, Rianne, she wouldn't come near me like at first. It was like this period of maybe 6 months where it took a while for her to warm up to me, right? But then eventually she realized that she was my daughter and that I loved her and that I will provide for her and I will care for her and I will protect her and I will defend her. I don't mean any ill will towards her, but I all my intentions are good towards her. It took her a while to understand that, but she knows that fully, that she is my daughter and that I love her and that she, as a daughter, she's entitled to my provision, to my care. And so that's what Jesus is saying to this daughter, this woman. Look, I call you daughter. I call you daughter. You are now in my family. You have faith in Jesus. You are my daughter. And that's what the Lord does to us whenever we own up to who we are. And in all of our secrets, this is us, God. He says, hey, look, you are my son. You are my daughter. You are my child. He gives us a new identity in Christ. Come on, your old identity of what everybody else knew you as is no longer there. He calls you son, he calls you daughter of the Most High God. Amen. No need for her to fear anymore. No need for her to be fearful of Jesus. He says, look, you are my daughter. I'm gonna provide for you. Then he tells her to go in peace. That must have been an awesome thing. To be at peace with the Lord, to be at peace with God. You know, that means, hey, look, everything that I've done up to this point, it doesn't matter. I'm at peace with the Lord. I have peace. The Lord told me to go in peace. I've made my peace with God. There is no sin. There is no impurities. There is no unrighteousness. I am made whole. I have peace with God. Oh, man, what an encounter with Jesus. And how it began to change everything in this woman's life. Everything changes when you encounter Jesus. You will be humbled by who he is. You will be prompted to confess your secrets, whether it's your secret sins, your secret disappointments, your secret pains, your secret hurts. He rids you of all the impurities. He calls you son or daughter, and he gives you peace that you can know that you are his. That you are his son, you are his daughter. Matthew 21:21 through 22, it says, and Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now you can begin to turn your shame into a showcase of his grace. Turn your shame into a showcase of his grace. Amen. In other words, your secrets that you've been dealing with and you've been holding on to, own up to it and say, God, this is me. So that way God can be glorified in your life and that the testimony of that God has done in you will begin to affect and change those around you. Amen. Amen. Now, as we close, I just want to kind of do a little illustration here. Everybody can see just a clear bottle of water. And this is our lives before Christ, all right? It's good, it's water. But what begins to happen is when we encounter Christ, I want you to know that there is no turning back when we encounter Christ. Everything in our life is affected. There's no way that I can separate all this good stuff that I just put in here from this water. There is no way, because this water has experienced whatever that stuff was, the emergency, which turned it a nice pink color. This water has experienced something, and that experience will always be. You know, I can stir it up a little bit, like I will do. I'll stir it up, because who wants to drink clumps of emergency? Now, there is no separating that emergency from that water. Amen? Do you agree? I mean, unless you use like some type of scientific way of doing it. There is no way of separating this emergency in the water. Because this water has encountered something that has changed it forever. It will never be the same. It will never be regular water ever again. Because it encountered something. It encountered something that made it better. And when, as Christians, as believers, we have encountered Jesus. And we will never be the same ever again because our DNA has been affected by Jesus Christ himself. There is no going back, amen? There is no going back to this world. There is no more going back to sin because there's nothing to go back to. There is no more going back to my life before Christ. There's nothing to go back to. My life is forever changed. I am completely different. I am made whole. I am a son of the living God. Amen. Stand to your feet and we're going to close out in prayer. If you're in this place today, you just need to encounter Jesus. I would invite you to come to the front. We're going to do something a little bit different. I would invite you to come to the front. Maybe you're like this woman and you've been dealing with some issues for a very long time and you just need a breakthrough in your life this morning. And I'm going to believe that God is going to meet with you and that you will encounter Jesus today. As you come, would you just lift your hands before the Lord? Again, it's not my power, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God is here and that he is wanting to meet with you this morning. He is wanting to heal you of your disease. He is wanting to heal your secret sins. He is wanting to heal your secrets, your secret pains, your secret hurts, your secret disappointments. He is wanting to heal you this morning. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we own up to who we are. Lord, this is us. Right now, I just encourage you to pray and just with your own words. Say, God, this is me. Lord, I'm tired of running. Lord, I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of pretending that the pain is not there. God, here I am. Would you heal me, Lord? I denounce all shame right now in the name of Jesus. And I come before the Master who is able to make me whole. And I ask, Lord God, for your touch today in the name of Jesus. Lord, for every single person that is here at this altar, would you touch them? Would you make them whole? Will you call them son? Will you call them daughter in this place today? Will they know for sure, without a doubt, God, that they are yours, that their identity is found in Christ and Christ alone? Their past does not define them anymore. They are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Right now, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we own up to who we are. We own up to those secrets. God, here I am. We ask, if it's sin, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would make us whole, Lord God. Lord, if it's an illness in our body that we've been ashamed of, God, I thank you that you are our healer in this place, so, Lord. You are our healer. You are Jehovah Rohi, the Lord who heals. You are the Lord who sanctifies us. You are our peace. You are our shalom. So, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you will make... make your church whole in the name of Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Come on, just lift up your hands. Don't leave. Don't leave until you receive your miracle. That woman was determined. She was desperate. She didn't care what anybody said about her. Don't leave the presence of God until you got what you came for this morning. Lord God, we open up our lives to you. Heal us, O Lord. Make us new today, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory for what you are doing in our lives. We thank you that you are doing a new thing, Lord God, at Hope Community Church, that you are making us new. You are making us pure. You are making us sons, daughters, children, sanctified, at peace with the Lord, whole, complete, healed, restored, delivered, set free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your freedom in this place. Thank you for your power, Lord God, that breaks the chains of darkness over our lives. Thank you for the cross, oh God, for the blood that poured out for us and made us whole. We thank you, Lord, in your righteousness. gets rid of our impurities and makes us righteous. God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. We pray, Lord, that it continues. Lord, just to tomorrow morning, Lord, when we wake up, God, that you'll continue that restorative work in our lives, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, we just give you all the praise. Lord, like that woman magnified you and said, God, heal me. Lord, let that be our testimony today, that God healed me, that God made me whole, that God set me free from the shame that I was carrying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you just thank him? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're magnificent, oh God. Come on, can you just sing forth praises just for a little bit? We're going to ask Brandon to come up and lead us into something. Hallelujah. Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you're here, come on, lift up your hands before the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord as we leave. Let's just give him praise and glory that he deserves in this place. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come.
God, we honor you and we give you all the praise. God, we thank you that one touch from us, from you, Lord, is an encounter. God, that it changes who we are. And God, that we can never go back, that you call us sons and you call us daughters, God, of the King. God, help us to walk in that confidence this week and for the rest of our lives, God, that we're your kids, and God, that you care for us just like you cared for the woman, just like you cared for Jairus' daughter. God, we just walk in that confidence and that freedom today, God, that we're yours. God, we thank you and that we have encountered the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in Jesus' name. This altar is going to remain open if you want to stay, but if you need to go, we completely understand. But if you just need to spend some time with the Lord, this place is yours just to hear from him, to reach out to him, to touch him. We want to see you this Wednesday at 6:30, so we just encourage you to be here and bring some friends. But if you just need a little bit more time with the Lord, we're just going to keep these altars open in Jesus' name. We love you and see you soon.